Good evening, Seattle and Little Saigon. Good evening to the people of the ancient republics of Antarctica. Good evening to all of the kingdoms hidden deep in the ancient jungles of faraway islands that have been swallowed by volcanoes. It is March the 10th, 2020, just around 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But what's standard in the plague year? I came to the realization today that I might be living in the Star Trek old school Captain Kirk, you know, motherfucker. You know, the first series. Yeah, I came to the realization that we might be in that Reverso universe. You know, the Reverso universe that William Shatner and his friends get sucked into, where they discover Go T Spock. Yes, indeed, I think we're in Reverso Universe. We are in the Go T Spock universe. We are in the universe of Go T Spock and the Tantalus device and the pirate ships. If you think that that episode was about William Shatner slipping into the Reverso universe of Reverso Bastiat and break more windows and have more goatee Spocks flying pirate ships and setting cities on fire, no, indeed, it turns out you were fucked with, you motherfucker. In reality, you're living in the Spock goatee universe. The universe of the Tantalus device, where you can instantly kill your enemies. The universe of sexy pirates who don't give a shit. And again, folks, I know a lot of anarchists like to associate themselves with pirates, but here's the deal. If you believe in the non-aggression principle, then the pirate thing might seem romantic, but in reality it's a lot of bullshit. Unless, of course, you're stealing from other pirates. Like Ragnar Danskold in Atlas Shrugged. If you're like Ragnar and you have a super ship capable of skimming along the surface at 400 miles an hour with hydrogen jet systems and capable of quick submersion and super torpedoes, because I wish I were Ragnar Danskold right now, I don't really think of him as a pirate as much as a privateer in the Navy of Liberty. So no, I don't hate the idea of defending yourself. I just don't think you should steal other people's hard work. If it's bullshit, if it's stolen money, yeah. I see, I have no moral issues with pirates stealing from pirates. I've never had a moral issue with that. It's like saying, what are my thoughts on killers killing killers? It's like, eh. I mean, I would kind of prefer we would give up on the murder schemes, but yeah, if someone who's a killer kills a killer, that there's just in general a moral zero, and if they kill each other, that's better. But if a good person kills a killer, I think that's a good day for good people. Especially if the good person lives. That's what I think. But indeed, it is Tuesday, March the 10th, 2020. in this year of the plague, right around almost 7 p.m. now, if you can believe it, getting there, getting to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the sun is going down in the west. The sun is going down to the west of me, but doesn't it mean it's rising in the east? The sun is going down to the west of me, but doesn't that mean it's rising in the east? Yeah. So I had a pretty good podcast with Dr. McPherson yesterday. Thought it went well. As you guys all well know, I'm a cosmological agnostic. And to the extent that I can believe the shit I'm being told, I try to keep an open mind. My basic feelings about Dr. McPherson are the following, and I stick with these for now. I think he's a good man. I think he's an intelligent man. I think he's a well-studied man, and I think he's someone you should listen to. It doesn't mean he's right. He could be wrong. As he stated, he kind of hopes he's wrong, and that too is a sign that he's a good man. I think he does hope he's wrong. And if he did turn out to be wrong, I would not mock him. I wouldn't. I would say, you know what? If you're ever in town, let's have a beer. Because it is okay to be wrong if you're trying to help people. And he is trying to help people. In fact, his basic message, if you break it down, is a very anarchist message in a lot of ways. And I think it's fundamentally not about government if we want to fix this, because more debt, more Bernie Sanders bullshit will fuck us. Okay? Whatever your feelings are about the environment, debt is toxic, not just to economic life. It is toxic to nature. It is opposed to everything in nature. There is nothing in nature that is good that works like debt. There's many things bad in nature that work like debt, like, you know, plagues of locusts or monkey herpes or whatever the fuck I have, the COVID, the woo flu, the boogaloo flu, whatever the fuck I have, it obeys its own laws and it behaves a lot like debt. But I wouldn't call it good. The stage 4 cancer that killed my sister Nancy, it behaved mathematically a lot like debt, and I would not call that good. I would not call it good, not at all. But one of the things I thought the other day is like, yesterday, I thought I fucked up. I used this word oblivion, because being oblivious essentially means essentially a kind of general ignorance to reality. But if you actually look at the word, the definition for oblivion, it means a lot more. There are sideways ways of looking at this word oblivion. It's not just the state of stupefaction. It is also, another word for it is extinction. Interestingly enough, another way of defining oblivion is as an end to it all and as forgetting. Forgetting is oblivion. Think about that. Because when it comes to civilization, here's the deal, folks. It doesn't have to be as bad as what Dr. McPherson describes for it to be fucking horrible. There are a lot of people in the United States of America who have a very narrow understanding of pain. Very narrow. And I'll include myself, because really, how hard have I lived? I have been middle-class white man poor. Well, that's still kind of rich by the world's standards. So a lot of people, they really don't understand pain any longer. They don't understand true tragedy. They really don't understand what it would be like to lose everything. And in the last week, I think people have had glimpses into this. They have been in their own state of oblivion, and now the oblivion that they didn't want to acknowledge is looking right at them. They have thought to themselves, well, if I'm ignorant of it, if I don't think about it, if I don't worry about it, it can't exist. But it does exist. It does. I thought I used the wrong word, oblivion, but it's not. It's a good word. Because it means essentially two kinds of things. On the one hand, it means the way a person approaches the world, which is to accept ignorance as a philosophy, to be oblivious, to completely ignore reality, to forget, to throw things down the memory hole. But on the other hand, it also refers to what can happen to you. And that's where it gets scarier. Because the first pose of the word oblivion is how we see the world. Oh, that's great. If I don't think this thing exists, oh, it doesn't exist. Oh, that doesn't exist. That's great. Oh, that's a shitty idea. I can forget that one. But here's the thing, though. The other side of oblivion is you. And you can be cast into the hole of oblivion. You can be cast into the great hole of forgetting. And you might never come back from that. One of the things that I mentioned to Dr. McPherson was this idea that I didn't think people were as much afraid of, how can I phrase this, dying, as much as they were afraid of dying alone or dying knowing that everyone else is dying too. And I don't want to get into the virus right now because that's going to be a subject further down on the list. But right now, whether this virus thing is real, not real, somewhere in between, bioweapons, psyop, boogaloo, I have no idea what it is. I have been sick for about a week, but have I been horribly sick? No, I'm going to leave that for another topic. Whatever it is, though, people are thinking about this really scary idea. What if it's not just that I die, which maybe is scary for some people, but everybody I know dies too? Because then all of a sudden, it's not just death, it's the end of things. And the end of things is always scarier. It's always scarier. It's always scarier to accept that things can end. It's always scarier to conceive of the idea that all of the books can turn to dust, that all the buildings can become sand, that everything you've done in your life might be for naught. And that's very scary because it means that when you're gone, you're not just gone, but you are oblivion. You are forgotten. You are gone in the sense that nobody alive will remember you because there'll be nobody left alive. That is scary. Do I believe that's what's going to happen? I really don't know. I believe in God, but does that mean God sends me, you know, cliff notes every day? Okay, here's what's going to happen, Dan. Okay, tomorrow the locust will reach Kentucky. Kentucky, Dan. Tomorrow, locust in Kentucky. And here's the thing I say to God right now. If there's a locust problem in Kentucky tomorrow, I'm going to really shake my fist at you. Because I don't want that job. Being a prophet is a sucky job. They were always being hunted because if they were honest to the king, whoever the king was, about what was going on, they would get tossed in ovens or, you know, lions' dens or their heads cut off, you know, and to be mocked by somebody's slinky daughter. So I'm not a prophet. I don't want to be one. And I got to say, if tomorrow Kentucky has a locust problem, I'll be really pissed off and I'll shake my fist. I don't know what's going to happen any more than anyone else does, but I do believe that we are at a point in human history that happens very rarely. You can think of this like a Richter scale, you know, in terms of earthquakes. It's not logarithmic. And I am concerned that what we're looking at could best be called a 10,000-year event. And 10,000-year events, that does not mean everything is over. But it does mean that our current situation could be in jeopardy. And if we don't start wising up, we're going to be fucked. Now, does that mean we need more government? No. Actually, it means the fucking opposite. We need less wars, less government, less bullshit, less debt, more freedom, And I would say more respect for nature. No matter your opinion about it, I mean, if you're a Christian, you should know this isn't Eden. This is a fallen world. Fallen worlds don't have Pez dispensers that give you free shit forever. So if you're a Christian and you're confused about the nature of where you're at, you need to reread Genesis. Fuck. This is a fallen world. There is no magical Pez dispenser for anything, including oil. And the damage you do, guess what? It comes back to haunt you. Welcome to fallen planet Earth. Welcome. I've been here a while. Although we don't like to think about consequences, do we? Let me talk about free speech for a second, too. You know, a lot of people at this point are probably saying we need to shut people up because things are scary. And that might seem smart, although I think if we have more free speech, whatever this virus is would probably have been a flash in the pan, because more free speech probably would have meant more people acting quickly. That's my belief around this. I people who think that it wasn't enough government, God, that's fucking stupid. It was too much fucking government. Too much of their bullshit. But here's the thing. Free speech is good for lots of reasons, not least of which it lets every single freak identify themselves. Listen to what I just said. I might be a freak. There may be people who listen to me who totally think I'm a fucking freak, and I'm okay with that. But wouldn't it be better to know that I'm a freak? Wouldn't it be better to know, oh boy. Oh boy, there's Dan. Yeah, he's across the street. Okay, we can walk faster now. Okay, good. He's not gonna... Okay, oh shit, he's at the crosswalk. Don't smile. Don't say hi. He's a freak. Have you heard his fucking podcast? Let every freak identify themselves. I just want to say that. Let every single fucking freak identify themselves. Every single one. And before I go to the next topic, I need to add another one really quick, because it's kind of important. So if you're hearing noises, please accept that. And if my topics seem like a ramble for tonight, forgive me, because I need to talk about this, and it's just one of those things. And if you're upset with me, whatever, fuck you, man. I got the boogaloo, I got the scrimbus, you know what I mean? I got the glimpus 17, I've got scrumuli herpes. And if you don't know what scrumuli herpes is, of all the herpes, to include monkey herpes, scrumuli herpes is pretty much the worst. It invades your body through your ear, because it turns out that sometimes rats get horny, and so they try to stick their rat penis in your ear, and that's how you get the scrumuli herpes. You can ask Richard Gere. That was mean. That's a way back time machine, the gerbil. Was that ever real? Did he ever really shove a gerbil up his butt? Maybe. But he's Richard Gere. Let him do what he wanted to. He's Richard fucking Gere. So in the last few days, it looks as if the oil patch, or I should say the shale patch, the main marginal oil plays in the United States, have had some bad times. The price of oil in the futures market has dropped below 30 a barrel, and it seems to be sticking there for a couple days. I truly don't know how it can stay there, because at that price, there's no way people can really produce the oil. But we'll see what happens. I mean, again, you know, the funky debt situation in our economy, because we're in goatee Spock universe, who the fuck knows how much quantitative easing is coming? I don't even know if there was an announcement today. I don't care if there was. Powell could have come out today and said, it'll be $1 trillion a month. we've hired Dr. Mark Faber. And it's because Mark Faber wouldn't take, he's a good guy. But it's funny, Mark Faber said like 7 years ago, I think, if they did QE4, it would be $1 trillion a month. And I think he was pretty close to the fucking truth on that. But a lot of people who trade oil, a lot of people who made assumptions, the wrong bets, and if you consider the situation, everybody made the wrong bets, so everybody had a hard day yesterday. It's been bad. And for some of us, especially the Austrians, the people who were angry about this buy the fucking dip economy, because we knew it was toxic, we knew it couldn't last, but it was basically like watching Rome rape itself with cocaine and hookers and free money. And if you're a Christian or a decent person, it's hard to watch that. It's hard to watch people take a casino mentality with existence and then believe it can last forever. It can't. It never could. They attached a nitrous injector to a Toyota Corolla with 500,000 miles on it, and they believed they could drive that Corolla at 100 miles an hour for 2 years. It would never fucking work. It could not work. There was no feasible way by which it would ever fucking work. But it did work for a while. And buy the fucking dip was the right answer for a while. And guess what? If they have one last shot of jizz in them, buy the fucking dip could also be the play for a couple more years. We could, you know, there could be virus bonds that earn you a coupon of maybe, you know, -2% over a 60-year period. Please don't buy those bonds. You might be made to buy them, though. Because those are better called slave bonds. Or rather, indentured servitude. Hey, get this bond. It's a -% coupon, 60 years, 600,000. Wait a minute, don't you go below? Yes, we do. We go below that line very soon, sir. At around 10 years or something, maybe 20, I don't know. But once we go below the line, then you owe us, fucker. Yes, it's not a bond, it's not an investment, it's a slave contract. Isn't that really what the fiat currency in your pocket kind of is? A kind of walking slave contract? It's why the cops don't feel shame when they steal it from you. Because they know, they're crooked, they're the bad pirates, but they know they're stealing essentially a slave contract. That's what they know they're doing. But let's just get real here for a second as I drink my water. There are a lot of people out there tonight, all across the country. A lot of people who work in the investing industry, in finance, in banking, who are hurting right now. There are, and I want to say this specifically, not everybody in that industry is bad. Just because you're an Austrian and you hate Keynesians doesn't mean you have to hate your fellow man. Because just because you're right, and we were right, ultimately, doesn't mean you should mock people, and it also doesn't mean you should wish them harm. Because I'll let you on a little secret. Not all of these fuckers are bad. Just like I tell you, not every homeless person is a drug user. Well, I'll let you on a little secret. Not every banker is bad. And there are people out there tonight hurting. And specifically, I'm talking to parents, mothers and fathers, who work in the industry. Moms and dads. And I don't want to get into gender bullshit. I'm going to say moms and dads. There are moms and dads out there right now of every gender, of every sexual orientation, who may have just lost their fucking job. They may have just lost everything. When I was a kid, a young kid, my dad did pretty well in the 1970s. He did pretty well as a small-time logger. And then right around the time we went to Hawaii, 8 kids... on a trip to Hawaii in 1980, his world fell apart economically. Not all at once. It didn't happen all at once. Nature's not linear. It's not kind in that sense. It didn't happen all at once, but it happened in a very cruel way, with little peaks and valleys. And by the time he died, which was basically 13 years later, he died broke. When I was a kid, you know, when some of these economic impacts of the Volcker time. Because again, I don't want to get into whether Volcker was good or bad, but when his when his decision to raise interest rates occurred, a lot of loggers, a lot of people in the lumber industry had very difficult times. Does that mean we should go into debt to keep loggers working? No. Uncle Dan didn't just say that. We're not talking about whether or not it should have happened. We're talking about what did happen. Families fell apart. Husbands beat their wives. Wives ridiculed their husbands to the point of suicide. Kids were hurt. Kids were beat. Families broke up. Crime went up. Drug use went up. Alcoholism went up. That's Cedar Woolley, Washington, 1981 to 83. So if you're asking, do I understand? Listen, there are people who live in Aberdeen, Washington, who will tell you that that hell never ended. That hell that began in the early 80s is still there today, because I have family members in Aberdeen, and it's been a community in a hard place for a long time. Here's a little fun fact. I think this is going to help them right now, because those who weathered that storm, who are still hanging on, you understand what's coming. You've already been there, like Bruce Willis, like Bruce Willis in Die Hard, you know, welcome to the fucking party, right? Welcome to the fucking party. We've been here a while. Well, here's the thing, though. There are men and women who've worked as oil traders, who work in the business, bankers. There are people who work as, you know, shale producers, people who try to, you know, boil oil tar sands into oil. No matter how ridiculous what it is, really, there are people who built their lives around this, and their lives are falling apart. And even if the government swoops in and creates a lot of bullshit money, it won't solve this. There is no solution. Crazy does not solve crazy. I'll let you in a little secret, and this should be a Dr. Freckles quote. Crazy has never solved crazy. Ever. Never, ever, ever. You don't solve crazy with more crazy. Not in your personal life, not with friends, not with personal finances or economics, and not with existence. Crazy does not act as a solution to crazy. I'm not saying you're bad if you're crazy. If that were true, I would be bad. But crazy's no solution to crazy. So Powell, Jerome Powell, can throw a lot of crazy money at this, but it's not going to help. It's really that nitrous injector. The more he opens that thing up, the closer we are to him just blowing up the fucking engine. And this is something they have to understand, unless they're totally fucking stupid. My message is not to people who I think of as evil, because I think there are evil people out there. I know Jesus doesn't like me saying that, but I think there are people out there who have suffered consequences they deserve and are evil. I also think there are good men and women out there who might be looking in the mirror tonight and saying to themselves, maybe my kids' lives would be better if I killed myself or I harmed myself. Maybe their lives would be better if dad or mom just died because I lost my job and a whole bunch of people's investments and retirement funds just blew up and a whole bunch of grandmas don't have money and I'm a scumbag and I should kill myself. And what I'm telling you is don't. Don't. There's nobody on the Death Star that doesn't have dirty hands. If you live on the Death Star, guess what? I don't care if you deliver pizza. I don't care if you run a not-for-profit institute for the poor. If you are on the Death Star, your money is dirty. So if you're asking yourself, who has a clean job? There are no clean jobs on the Death Star. But if you're a person who worked in these industries and you're considering harming yourself because you just lost a lot of money, don't. There are so many good reasons. I don't even want to list them because there are a lot of good reasons, but don't. Don't assume you being gone is going to make anybody's life better because it won't. You being gone will improve nobody's life. Not your kids, not your wife or husband, not the person who's your boyfriend or girlfriend, not the family that loves you. And guess what? Being broke, from a hobo drifter to you folks out there who might be listening and just lost a lot of money, being broke is okay. I'm not saying you should stay broke. Every poor person knows it's great to be rich. But they also know you kind of have to accept sometimes being poor. And that's okay too. I believe in free enterprise. I think it is honorable to become rich while at the same time not, taking advantage of your neighbor. If you can do those two things, if you can make money and not be a monster in the world and actually succeed without harming people and not harming nature, in my opinion, then you're an honorable, decent person, and I respect you. So being rich is not bad. Being rich is not bad. But here's the deal. If you lose it all, it's just money. If you have to leave the fancy home, guess what? There are other communities out there. And here's the thing you might be surprised by, you master of the universe, you PhD, triple PhD, hedge fund mathematician. You might be surprised that in this process, you're going to end up doing more good for more people than you have ever done. So I ask the good people tonight who've lost money as investors, as masters of the universe, I ask the good people who've lost their jobs, don't harm yourself. Don't kill yourself. Don't do it. That's the request. It's not the end of the world to be poor. And money is great. It is great. It's also okay to be poor. Next topic is not a great one. I needed to say that because, I needed to say that because I can be critical of the fraudulent way our markets work. But that's about processes. That's about systems. That's not about people. I think a lot of people get suckered by it. They get suckered by the whole buy the fucking dip mentality, the free money mentality. They get suckered. I have been suckered. If I attack others for being suckers, then I'm a total asshole. And what I'm saying ultimately is there isn't an amount of money that is worth your life. There isn't. The money is worthless compared to your existence. This life will never happen for you again. Whether you believe in God or not, you're never going down this road again. Ever. So why not see where it goes as long as you can? And I'm not saying people who have stage 4 cancer or who are dying painfully don't have a right to make a choice on that too. That's also not my fucking point. My point is you have control of your life. And if you're thinking about harming yourself because you have just become poor or lost money or something, just please don't do it, is my request. From a hobo drifter in Seattle. The Hawks and the Eagles. So in the last few days, I've seen some weird shit. And keep in mind, I have not wandered Seattle to observe this in other places. I don't know if other people in Seattle have noticed this. But in the last few days, I have seen multiple hawks and multiple eagles swooping into the neighborhood for food. And the reason why it's easy to identify them is because you can usually see a half a dozen crows chasing around them in circles to get them the fuck out. So it's kind of easy to tell what the fuck's going on. I don't know what that means. I really don't. To me, it means there's no food in the Puget Sound, or nothing, or maybe just as bad. There's nothing in the Puget Sound worth eating, which, you know, that could be the truth right there. And it's also kind of scary because it means that the hawks and the eagles, if you've got kittens, here's some advice to the city dwellers who have little cats right now or little dogs. You need to be careful as fuck right now. Because it looks like the predators, the large birds of prey predators, they're running out of their natural food. And as Uncle Dan's general theory goes, people gotta eat. And when I say people, I include other predators like eagles and hawks and golden eagles. So little beans and Burien. I hope my sister's listening to this because this is actually happening. Yeah, little beans, you shouldn't squeal so much tonight. Because a giant owl might be coming for you, baby. Little Beans, the French bulldog of Burien. Oh, Little Beans, you love to squeal, your little squeal. But you won't heal if a golden eagle picks you up, buddy. Oh, Little Beans, you think you're so mean. But as that golden eagle's talons grasp into your spinal cord, you'll feel the ultimate pain that every prey animal feels as the golden eagle carries you away and you're going, wabada, wabada, wabada. Yeah, you'll make your little French bulldog squeal thinking it'll scare the fuck out of the eagle. And it does, you know, give you the stink eye, but it doesn't care because its kids need to eat. Its children need to eat. And that golden eagle thinks you're a tasty nugget. Sure, they'll probably have the shits for a few days. But then they'll think, wow, that was savory. I think the shits were worth it. That little French bulldog. Yeah, folks, I've seen birds of prey in Little Saigon being chased off by crows. And when I say chased off, not easily. You know, it's kind of like you think to yourself, they're testing the waters. They're trying to figure out, in reality, how threatening can six crows be to an eagle. And the thing is, that eagle might say, you know, that crow looks tasty. Yeah, eating crow. That takes on a whole new fucking meaning, crows. So you better be careful, because these birds of prey look like they're getting a little bit hungry. They're running out of healthy food in their habitat, and they're coming for you, beans. That. Yeah, hawks and eagles. I gotta say, if you have a small pet and you if you want to think I'm full of shit, whatever. If you have a small cat or dog in the Seattle city limits, like places like International District or Belltown or whatever, be on the watch, because I think the birds of prey are running out of food and I think they're coming into the city, and that little pug of yours, that's gonna look like a nice little niblet. You remember how you had that wine party with your friends in the condo in Belltown? You said, I love living on a 20th floor. I love living on a 20th floor, and I love this Pinot Noir. And I love my pug, Mr. McGillicuddy's. I love Mr. McGillicuddy's, and I love the 20th floor of my condo. I love Belltown, Seattle's wonderful, and this wine is great. And isn't it cute, the little squeal Mr. McGillicuddy's makes? That little squeal that Mr. McGillicuddy's makes. Yeah, that squeal technically sounds like an animal in distress. And those golden eagles, those hawks, those bald eagles, yeah, they know the sound of an animal in distress. Yeah. So do the coyotes. But on the 20th floor, you're probably okay, Mr. McGillicuddy's. On the 20th floor, however, if you put him on the deck by himself because you need to go out for a couple hours because you want to have sex with Travis, let me tell you something. Mr. McGillicuddy's might not be there when you get home. And if he is there, you might find him on the sidewalk after having fallen 20 floors. Don't leave your pug out on the deck and go away if you live high up in one of those places right now, because I think that Mr. McGillicuddy's might be on the menu. And gravity's a bitch. You know, the fucking birds of prey use that to their advantage. If Mr. McGillicuddy's is making noise, they'll drop his ass and then pick him up again if they can. Although that's tricky in the city. They might just fly over a roof and try to hit the roof with him so that basically they can pick him up and eat him. Beans or Mr. McGillicuddy's. Or little Mr. Scoochums. I don't give a fuck what you've named your pug or your Frenchie or your little Mr. Scoochums. I don't really care. If you have a tiny, unreasonably small, unnaturally capable, incapable dog and you leave him on your deck in a high rise in Seattle right now, the dog might not be there when you get home, is all I'm saying. Next topic. So technically, I think I'm still sick, but I gotta tell you, I received a care package from this dude. I won't reveal him, but he's a listener and he's awesome. I will say he's a rocket scientist, and I think that's pretty cool, because anytime a rocket scientist says he listens to me, I that gets me excited. Like, yeah, maybe I appeal to rocket scientists, but I'd like to appeal to strippers, too. That would be nice. folks. Next topic. Here's the deal. I have had symptoms of something. I don't know what it is. For about a week. I was going through cycles of feeling better and worse, and then now I'm mostly feeling better. So if you ask me, am I feeling better or worse, I'm feeling better. However, I need to add a few things. I got a care package. It included the elderberry syrup, and I think that's helped. I don't know, though. This is anecdotal. This is not good science, but I think it's helped. The other thing, too, I got money so I could buy weed and beer. So, full disclosure, I drank some beer yesterday, and I drank some beer today. Do I have any money, more money for beer? No. But that's okay, too. A person shouldn't fucking drink beer every fucking day. Though I've done that. Jesus knows. Indeed, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. So I'm feeling a little better, but do I have a little bit of a cough? Yeah, a little. Do I have some weird pressure in my upper sinuses? I do. It feels, you know, a little bit like my left ear canal is filled with fluid. And it might very well be, but there's no pressure or pain right now. So that's okay. It's mostly just a hearing loss in my left ear. And who knows? Maybe the virus destroyed my left ear. I really don't know. I think it's mostly just, you know, some fluid. Although the virus is starting to hurt me again, so I think I should stop talking about the virus. But anywho, I'm not feeling entirely bad. And in that sense, if this is the virus and this is how bad it gets, I don't know that this is something that we should all go crazy about. But it does seem like it's not so bad for me. And it might not be so bad for young people. Like, that might be the ticket. Like, young people, people under the age of 60 or something, maybe it's just not so bad. I don't know. There's news that Seattle might end up in a sort of general quarantine at some point in the next couple days. And if that does happen, it's possible that they will put control systems in place to control communication. Why wouldn't they? This is what they train to do. This is what FEMA and these organizations train to do. They train to control populations. So it's not just that they'll say, stay inside. It's also possible that they'll turn off your internet, or selectively, or basically put so many controls in place that it'll take an hour to download or upload anything. That could happen too. I'm sorry. If you don't believe it, I don't think you really believe how terrible people can be. And there's a lot more fear, I think, right now than reason or logic. A lot more fear going on, a lot more fear-mongering. I told you throughout this thing, I wanted to see it with my own fucking eyes. And then when I started getting sick, I said, okay, maybe this is something, but let's see what happens. All I can tell you is I am still seeing more fear than reality. I'm still seeing more fear than logic. Do I truly know how many people have been killed? How the fuck would I? How the fuck would anybody other than those people who run the world, and those people that run the world, whether they're simply stupid or evil or both, it doesn't matter. They're fucking it up. Okay? They're fucking it up. Maybe it's on purpose they're fucking it up. Maybe it's random bullshit. Frankly, you should hope it's a conspiracy. You can fix a conspiracy. You can fix that problem. You can't fix randomly stupid. That's almost unfixable, because when you get to that point, trying to trace the random Brownian logic path of stupid, it becomes almost impossible. But at least if there's a conspiracy, you could in theory fix it. Well, folks, it doesn't matter what it is. It's kind of fucked up, and it looks like more fear than anything else. But here's the other side of the equation. I saw those videos a month ago showing some dude walking down the street and then keeling over. It looked real. So did the beheading, you know, videos from Syria in 2014 in Iraq. Those looked real. Those ISIS beheading videos, were they real? I have no fucking idea. And then there's that kid that seems to be killed by, you know, Sandy Hook, and killed by, you know, trying to be a refugee, and killed by, you know, Assad in Syria. There's this kid that shows up in multiple photographs. He's died 20 times. That's weird. It's weird. And all I'm left with is maybe a lot of these photos and videos aren't real. Okay, they might be bullshit. That it might be street theater. what we're seeing out of China, as scary as this sounds, might be street theater. It might be bullshit. I have no idea. I really don't. But what I have seen mostly, what scares me the most in the last few days, isn't the virus. It's the way people are responding to it. It's not rational. Yeah, you know, I would tell people, get some food, but toilet paper? What are you thinking about? If your main issue in this crisis is toilet paper, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm sorry if that sounds mean, but I'm trying to be a little mean because you need to wake up. Your main concern is not toilet paper. Your main concerns are food, water, shelter. You need those. Figure out how you're going to get them. But the toilet paper is a nice to have. Throughout pretty much most of history, people live without it. And I'm sorry, you might have to live without it again for a while. Oh, wow, is that the end of the fucking world? Probably not. Now, there's a lot more crazy and fear out there than anything else right now. That's what I would say about the virus. I was going to read this article about the Bill Gates fucking coronavirus test kit. It's too depressing to talk about that shit. I don't want to talk about that. It's just too fucking depressing. It is too gross that some vulture swoops in like that piece of shit. You know something? If we had free markets, if we didn't live on the Death Star, I probably wouldn't be so fucking judgmental. But he is a piece of shit. Fucking test kit. I had a couple other topics here. I don't even know if I want to talk about them. Let's see. You know what? I may stop here just because it makes sense to stop here and end it here for the podcast this evening. Some information. I'm doing this fictional project, Little Saigon Diary, and it is not over, well, until I'm dead. There is a Chapter 5 coming, or Episode 5, depending upon how you want to look at a serial. However, it might be delayed further for two reasons. One, I'm still getting over this Glumptian illness, this weird virus of my scrondoids. That's one. And number two, I have this story stuck in my head. And I always said to myself, if I had a story stuck in my head while I was working on LSD, I love that phrasing. If I had a story stuck in my head while I was working on LSD, I would have to get it out of me. Either with a drill or an angle saw. I might have to take a hammer and just bang my skull. But I have to get that story out of me. And so I have a story in my head I need to get out. And the good news is it's not a novel. I think it's probably a short story or a novella at most. Maybe around 10 to 20,000 words. Maybe. But there's a story stuck in my head, and it might not be a good story, but it is a story, and it is a story that's on topics we discuss on the Little Saigon Report, like time travel. It's related to time travel, and it's related to catastrophe, about bad things happening, and it's related to how people grieve, and how people fail to grieve. Anywho, I think I need to write this story, so if there's not a Little Saigon Diary chapter, you know, or episode for a few weeks, please don't be too pissed off. LSD is not going away. I love that. LSD is not going away. However monstrous that CIA drug is, LSD is not going away. The Little Saigon Diary, that is the Hasselhoff Baywatch Nights to Baywatch, is not going away. We have to learn more about how everything is connected. But this other story, which I cannot reasonably sandwich into LSD, has to be written. Thank you. Before I close out, I have to remind you, I don't make people pay for these podcasts. And I'll add one other thing. I'm going to turn on the ability to download MP3s on all my podcasts as soon as I can. There's no way to do it for all of them at once. And there are like 500 plus. So I think tomorrow I'm going to try to basically turn on the download for MP3. Why am I doing that? A couple reasons. Number one, if you're out there and you enjoy my podcast, then maybe Thursday or Friday, you can download a bunch of them so you have them. Because I don't truly know how much longer any of the things we call normal is going to last. It's something that Dr. Guy McPherson and I agree on. We may not agree on the final act, but I think we agree on Act 1 and 2. And he might be right about Act 3. That Act 3 is the final act. I don't know, but I can tell you he's right about Act 1 and 2. Like a lot of you are. And your instincts are right. And a lot of the things we call normal or normality or whatever you want to fucking call it, those things are going away. So what I'm going to do is I'll make it possible to download the MP3 from SoundCloud for all of them. It's going to take me a day or two because I don't want to get carpal tunnel from clicking something 500 plus times. I'm not going to go crazy doing this is my point. I have OCD and it's dangerous sometimes. I don't know if it's bad OCD though. I mean, if you saw how I lived. But on the other hand, what if you take OCD to the point where in certain cases you do the opposite of the OCD, which means if someone's a clean freak, you're a freak about seeing how dirty things can get. That's kind of like me, I gotta be honest with you. So I've got a weird OCD. It's a fucked up OCD. It is not the OCD that girlfriends like. It's the kind that basically means you're never gonna have a girlfriend again. But that's okay too. Loneliness is a harbor for the ascetic. The Hermitage is a safe place for the mind set free unto itself. If you exist within the cave world, if you exist within the climdic space, if you worry walk amongst the blimbus, it'll be okay. It'll be okay, Shay Bay. Baby, I love you. So yeah, Thursday or Friday, I think you'll be able to download MP3s. And one more thing, if you listen to my podcast and you've already taken care of all your money stuff, you've taken care of your family, you've bought your food, your water, your shelter, and you still have enough hope in reality that you have a few bucks left over, and you were thinking about buying McDonald's, well, you can eschew that. And instead, if you enjoy my podcast, donate to me. There is no limit on amounts, okay? The amount you can donate is zero or infinity. But since only the Lord in heaven can do the infinity amount, you can do something less than that amount. If you got lots of money and you like my show, this would be a great time to send me a couple grand. If you don't have any money, don't worry about it. I frankly don't want to grift people at a time like this. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I was ranting on Twitter today. Fuck, I'm on Twitter. I can't believe that shit. I was ranting as Commander Koenig on Twitter today about clearing prices. And if you don't know what a clearing price is, it's really very simple in my opinion. It is the price at which a seller is willing to sell and a buyer is willing to buy. That's the clearing price. And if you have a clearing price, that means you have a functioning market. Let me repeat this. If you have a clearing price, you have a functioning market. If there is no clearing price, there is no functional market. For example, trips to Mars. You might want to go to Mars. The problem is there is no clearing price for a trip to Mars right now. There is pretty much no amount of money that you would be willing to pay that someone would be willing to say, yes, I'll take you to Mars. The number doesn't exist. You're not rich enough. If you were a trillionaire, okay, maybe you could hire a company to take you to Mars. Sorry, if you're listening to me, you're probably not a trillionaire or a billionaire. You might be a millionaire, but hey, these are tough times, so those millions disappear fast. If a clearing price does not exist, there is no market. The problem with oil at this point in human history is that there probably isn't a functional clearing price, which means that the amount it costs to produce, ship, process oil, all the pieces that go into it, that price of in terms of cost is probably too high in terms of a selling price. You as a consumer want to go to the gas station and you want to fill up your car for probably no more than $3 a gallon. And $3 a gallon, if we're being honest, that's a lot more than we paid when we were younger. So is it inflation? Is it oil? Is it both? You need to think about that and also think it's the petrodollar. Imagine if the petrodollar didn't exist. Yeah, don't go to that scary place right now. Anywho, all things being equal, you want to go to the gas station and you want to pay basically less than $3 a gallon. The problem is at less than $3 a gallon, the oil company cannot supply the gas station. That is a non-functional market. And the only way non-functional markets have ever been made to quote unquote sarcastic quotes here, work, function, is via government, which should tell you you shouldn't have them, okay? Malfunctioning markets, markets that don't have clearing prices, should not exist. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. If there is not a reasonable amount that you're willing to pay for something that matches a reasonable amount that someone can produce it at, that market should never fucking exist. I don't know how many times I need to fucking say that. Okay? That is the kind of market that works like a black hole, that basically sucks the whole universe into it. That is a bad, bad thing. Well, here's some reality, folks, too. I have to be honest. Like oil, my podcast does not have a clearing price right now. In a few months, I run out of money. And don't cry for me. I'll go find a fucking job and I'll do this again. I'll keep doing this until, you know, either I write something that people want to read or I say something people want to hear. But here's the deal. My podcast technically right now does not have a clearing price. Yes, I take donations, but that's the principles still apply. With donations or not, there's an amount of money I need to survive and there's an amount of money I make off the podcast. That being said, I have listeners who are way too fucking generous. Way too fucking generous. Generous beyond measure, in my opinion. So what I'm saying right now to all my listeners, period, is you don't have to send me anything at all. I don't want your money if you don't have it. And I don't want your money if there's someone else that needs it more that you love. That's just the way it is. But if you happen to be rich and you've taken care of everybody and you got a couple bucks, I'll take it. I won't lie. But only if you enjoy my podcast. Only if you think of it as at least a way to keep a crazy old fool talking for a few more months. But that's it. That's reality. I can't tell you the truth about oil without telling the truth about my situation or a lot of people's situations. You know what, folks? We are all going to have to change, probably, if we want to survive. And it won't be easy. But I tell you this, there are some things I can't do. I can't give up freedom. I can't give up the right to say what I want to say. I can't give up my autonomy. And if that means I will become extinct, whether it's Guy McPherson style or some other status fucking cruel fucking death camp bullshit, I don't really fucking care. Because there is no life as a slave. There isn't. There never has been, never fucking will be. Slavery is only slow motion death. Anywho, if you got the money, feel free to donate. If you don't have it, don't. I am not a charity case. But I do want to say this. If you're out there tonight and you're scared, it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be scared. It's also okay to calm down, to drink a glass of water, to remind yourself, none of us ever had a guarantee. There was never a sure deal. This was always going to end the same way every single epic of history. Everybody dies. Sometimes a lot of people die at once. Sometimes you live in a good time and it's that trickle of death that is just a somber moment in a time of holidays and good seasons. Sometimes times are easy. Sometimes times are hard. I'm going to leave a reference to Yorbis's Chronicles in this podcast notes, a reference to section 4 that deals with good times and hard times. You might not like the Chronicles of Yorbis. It might not be your McGillicuddy. I don't care. But I'm going to put it there so you can get a sense of where I'm coming from. Sometimes times are hard. And above all else, if I can just circle back before I go, If you've lost money, that is not a reason to harm yourself. If you've lost money, that is not a reason to harm somebody else. If you've lost money, that is not a reason to think of yourself as a loser. Some of the greatest winners in history had great comebacks, which means that they lost everything and they came back. So don't discount yourself just because you lost everything. You know something? You're not dead yet. Don't usher yourself there too quickly. You're not dead yet. There are people that love you, believe it or not. So if you're out there listening tonight and you're thinking of harming yourself, you need to do the opposite. Think of how you're going to help yourself. Think of how you're going to help others. Think about how you can be a dignified and free person and maybe lead by example, not rule, not be a tyrant, but be a mentor, be a teacher. You might be surprised, my friend. You might be surprised that instead of this being a hell, this could end up being the toughest time of your life and the greatest time of your life. You might be fucking surprised. For the Little Saigon Report, Tuesday, March the 10th, 2020, you fucks. It is almost 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here in Seattle. It's almost 8 p.m. and I want to say good night, good luck, be safe. And if you do get the virus, elderberry might help. And that's all I can say now. And I've heard drinking water helps. Well, drinking clean water, a lot of it always helps in a way when you're sick because it helps flush things out, I guess. I don't know. Don't drink too much because you can get hyperbolic shock, right? Don't drink too much water. Take care of yourself. Listen to your body. Your body is smarter than you might realize. If it tells you something is poison, it might be poison. And above all else, if you have a cat, a dog, a small animal in Seattle, and you live in a high rise and you leave your animal out on the deck alone, please rethink that, because the eagles, the hawks, the golden eagles, and probably other flying creatures, Fukushima, are coming for it, and it could be really sad.